I just want to say a thank you for the very warm welcome that we have received since we've been with you in Singapore. And as you've heard already, we just arrived yesterday afternoon, and the welcome we've received here is only second to the welcome that you would receive if you visited us in Northern Ireland. So thank you. When I come to give my testimony, I was thinking about many things, but I was drawn to John's Gospel chapter 3, where the Lord said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." So that really impacted on my life. As a teenager, I can remember going through a period of searching for the meaning of life. And I knew I was fearful of death and what would happen thereafter. I had been raised in a non-Christian home. I was the youngest, and I'm the youngest of four. I knew I was loved by my parents, but you know, things were not always easy in the family home. I was sent to Sunday school and to church, and I was in the Girls' Brigade, which is a uniformed organisation for girls within the church. I was taught Bible studies and I was taught the catechism. But then, you know, I drifted and I turned away from the Christian church. I became cynical and disillusioned, and I reacted against Christianity, and I can't really explain that, except to say that I believe it was Satan working, influencing my life in a bad way. I came to faith in God through his Holy Spirit stirring in my heart. The understanding and the revelation of who Jesus Christ is and why he came in human flesh, living that perfect, sinless life that I could never live. He bore the punishment for my sin in his own body, so God the Father would be satisfied and I would be accepted in Christ. I was freed from the penalty of my sin that was deserved, and I knew that I had knowledge that I will be with him in heaven's glory when I die, if he does not return first. So I was saved as a teenager in 1974. I was saved at a moment in time. I'm being saved, and I will be saved when Christ returns. And you know, it's amazing what God uses to draw you onto himself. Because when I was going through that period where I was searching and I was longing to know truth and satisfaction and meaning in my life, I came across my Gideon New Testament. I'd been given this New Testament probably in my school days at school. And it contains the Psalms and it contains Proverbs. And it also has little helps where you can find help when you're afraid, whenever you're anxious, when you're backsliding, when you need God's protection. So I was drawn to so many scriptures that were very influential in my life. Psalm 103, verses 10 to 13. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. And you know, the night in which the Lord revealed the Lord Jesus Christ to me in that special way, my eyes were opened, my ears were unstopped, and I was captivated by the lovely Lord Jesus Christ and by the gospel writings, by his life and his work. I was reading the gospels with fresh eyes and complete enthrallment and interest for the very first time, and I knew the power of the scriptures speaking to me. I had that conviction of sin, and I knew Christ as my very own and personal Saviour. So I confessed my sin and I bowed the knee, and I was gloriously saved on the 2nd of June 1974. And from that moment onwards, I knew the peace of God, which passes all understanding, which guards my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Before then, I didn't know peace with God, and I didn't know the peace of God. And ever since then, I know that He is my Lord and my Saviour, and I have abundant life in Christ. So immediately after that, I started to become much more studious. My schoolwork improved considerably, and I sought the Lord for what I should do with my life. And He led me to study nursing. So I became a nurse, and I was used of the Lord to minister both physically and spiritually unto others. In due time, I also trained as a midwife, and I practiced as a midwife for several years. For the last number of years, too many to mention, I have worked as a general practice nurse in a doctor's surgery, and that has been fulfilling and also challenging. I don't know about you, but we're living in an age, 21st century living is challenging. There's a lot more in the workplace that you have to accomplish. You're given the same amount of time, but you've more to do. And every year that goes by, you're getting a little bit older. And I'm very conscious that I don't have the same stamina or ability that I maybe had when I was younger. But the Lord is gracious, and He has been with me, and He has undertaken in many ways. You're maybe wondering how I met this man, who is my husband. And in 1986, I did have a desire to go to the Holy Land and see where my Saviour lived and walked and ministered. So I went on a Christian tour. There was about 50 people on that Christian tour, and one of those people was Cecil Andrews. And he and I met there, and very quickly it became very clear to him and to I that the Lord was bringing us together. And we married in 1987. So we've been married now over 32 years. We were not blessed with children. It was not the Lord's will for us to have children. And we accepted that, and we are happy and at peace with that. The Lord has done many good things in our lives, has undertaken for us in many situations, helped us with many of life's problems and difficulties. And we are very much focused on serving the Lord where He has placed us. Me as a nurse, where I am working, and Cecil with Take Heed Ministries, and as he's given opportunity to preach. And you know, a special verse that I have that the Lord has given to me is very well known, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. So we have proved that in our lives, and we continue to prove that day by day. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, I commend Him to you. We're living in a changing world. We're all changing as we get old. There's much change all around us, but the Lord Jesus Christ changes not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What stability He gives us, what peace He gives us. I commend Him to you. He is my Saviour. Amen.
Right. Well, now, how do I follow that? Well, I'm pleased to say that the Lord also saved me. I don't know whether you have an expression over here. They talk about the baby boomer generation. You know what that is? People who were born the year following the end of the Second World War. And they're referred to as the baby boomer generation. Well, I'm a genuine baby boomer generation person. And unlike Margaret, who wasn't born into a Christian family, I was. My mother and father were both Christians. And so they made it an undertaking that they would raise me and my two older brothers in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We were sent to Sunday school. We were brought to church. We were enrolled in organizations like the Light Boys and the Boys Brigade. And so I was brought up in a Christian environment. In my teenage years, it was suggested to me that perhaps I should attend pre-communion classes. And these were classes for teenage people where you would go along for about 6 weeks and you would listen to things being said and taught. And then you were asked questions at the end of those classes. And if you gave the right answers, that was construed as a credible profession of faith. And then that meant that you could take the elements at the communion service, the bread and the wine. So I obviously gave the right answers and I was allowed to take the elements. But the reality was that whilst I had a head knowledge of what had been taught to me, my heart had not changed. I was still as sinful as the day that I was born. I continued going to church to please my parents, really, until about the age of 20. But I was more interested in sport. I played field hockey and I played cricket. And they took over my weekends. And as well as the sport, I enjoyed the social life that was associated with it. And the guys that I played sport with, they were very convivial and so on. So church did not enter into my thinking on a Sunday. And that was the situation for about 18 years. Until in 1984, I went to visit my oldest brother and his wife who were living in British Columbia in Canada. And whilst there, the weather was very nice and I was relaxing in their back garden. And I thought, I wish I had something to read. So I went down into a bookstore in the town that they lived in. Now, it wasn't a Christian bookstore, but they had a little section, very small section, of Christian-themed books. And I bought a book with an interesting title. I think it was called 1980s Countdown to Armageddon. And I went to my brother's back garden, and I read it inside about 2 days. And then I went back and I bought some more books by the same author. One was called The Late Great Planet Earth, and I read it in a few days. And then there was another book that he had written called The Promise, and I started to read it, but I hadn't finished it by the time I had to come back to where I live in Northern Ireland. And when I came back to Northern Ireland, through reading in particular this book, The Promise, I found it fascinating because what it did was it referred to Old Testament passages and showed how the Lord Jesus Christ had fulfilled what was pictured in the Old Testament passages. The result was that steadily I was beginning to think of things about God, and I was beginning to see myself as God saw me. Now, the guys that I played hockey and cricket with, they thought I was an okay guy, you know, good fun and very social and all the rest of it. But I was seeing myself as God saw me. And I knew that I was a vile sinner who deserved only his wrath and his punishment. And so I tell people that on the 19th of August, 1984, I was of all men most miserable living in Northern Ireland. I was deeply concerned about my spiritual situation and my standing before God. And so I decided that I would go to a church that evening. I hadn't been attending any church, and I thought, where will I go? Well, there was a church in Belfast, and the minister of it was a very well-known figure. As well as being a minister of the gospel, he was also a politician. He was a forthright speaker, and I thought, that's the man I want to hear. I don't want anybody who's going to waffle or try to give me a nice soft soap message. I want straight talking. I want him to shoot from the hip. And so I went to the service that Sunday evening on the 19th of August, 1984. And I can't remember what the preacher said. But I know that God did a dealing with me that night. Not only did he reveal to me how Christ suffered as a substitute on the cross, bearing the punishment that others deserved, but he also revealed to me how the sinless life of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was also living that as a substitute for his people. He was totally righteous, perfectly righteous. And if you believe on him as your Savior, not only does his death on the cross remove all of your unrighteousness, in fact, he also gives you his perfect righteousness. And that night, I knew that I was clothed in the perfect righteousness of Christ. If you think of it like this, the last thing that was taken off the Lord before he was nailed to the cross was a seamless robe woven from the top to the bottom. There wasn't a flaw or imperfection in this robe. And it was taken off him. And it was given into the hands of sinners as he went to the cross to suffer the wrath of God on behalf of sinners. And when you become a Christian, that is what happens. You are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So when God looks at me, he doesn't see all of my sins, which were and are many. He sees the perfect righteousness of Christ. And that's why Paul says in Ephesians, I am accepted in the Beloved. Because when he looks at me, he sees the righteousness of Christ given to me because I have faith in Christ. So I went out of that service on the 19th of August, 1984, born again, saved, peace with God. I had the same peace that Margaret experienced when she was converted. That was 1984. In 1985, I had moved my place of employment, and so I had to move where I was living. And I discovered that where I moved to in 1985, living opposite me was a Christian man who had a ministry warning Christians about false teachings and cults and all sorts of things. So he and I became friends, and that got me interested in this type of Christian work, warning people. It's a ministry called apologetics. Now, it doesn't mean I go around the world apologizing for being a Christian. What it means is that I go around seeking to defend the truth of the Christian gospel as found in the Bible. So that was 1985. Then in 1986, I tell people I was single and I had money. And one day my mother said to me, there's an advert here in the paper for a trip to the Holy Land. I think you would enjoy it, because my mother and father had been to the Holy Land. So I said, fair enough. So I signed up for it. And Margaret's already told you that there were 50 people on this tour. And Margaret was sharing a room with another nursing colleague. I was just on my own. But I tell people, she and I, we shared a few ice creams beside the Sea of Galilee. And 3 months later, we were engaged. We were engaged in December of 1986, and we were married on the 20th of August, 1987. So all told, it was about 11 months from when we first met to when we were married. I'm a little bit older than Margaret, so she tells people that time was not on my side. So that was 1986. I was married and so on. So then in 1987, I was married. The following year, the neighbor that I'd become friendly with, he saw a building opened to house his ministry. He had been working from home for many years, but this building was opened in 1988. Sadly, later that year, he was diagnosed with having an inoperable brain tumor. And in 1989, he actually died. I had sort of learnt sort of much of his ministry and so on, and I was trying to help out, but I also had a full-time job. But in 1989, the managing director of the company that I was working for, he called me into the office one day and he said, "Cecil, have you ever thought of doing full-time Christian work?" And I said, "Well, Margaret and I have been praying about it, but you know, it wouldn't be easy for me to give up my job." Because I worked for, we call them back home building societies. They're a bit like banks. People would invest money, and then we would lend that money out to people who want to buy their house and so on. So I worked for a company like that, and the salary was good. There was a free pension scheme. I had a company car. So it didn't seem possible that I could give up my job and go into full-time work. But the managing director said, "I'll speak to the board of directors." He says, "I'm not putting you out of your job if you want to stay. But if you're like, I would ask them." I said, "Yeah, go ahead." So they came up with a package, which meant I could leave. I tell people it didn't mean I could retire on what they were offering me, but it was a stepping stone, and we believed it was of the Lord. And so I left my employment on the 31st of October, 1989. Obviously, my salary and all was gone, and Margaret took on extra nursing duties to help us through those times. The following year, on the 1st of September 1990, I was led very much to Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. When the Lord was asked, "What would things be like before you return?" First thing he said was, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Spiritual deception is going to be rampant before the Lord returns again. And so I thought, I'll establish a ministry, Take Heed Ministries. The trustees of the other ministry that had been run by my friend but who had died, they asked me would I sort of devote half of my week to helping out in their ministry, and then the other half of the week I was doing it for my own ministry. And that was the situation up until 1999. And by that stage, my own ministry had grown so much that I couldn't handle both mine and theirs. So we parted company amicably. I had to take all my stuff out of their building. And when I brought it up to the house that Margaret and I were living in, it was all over the place. So we ended up, we had to move house. But the Lord brought us to a new house that was being built, and I were able to adapt it so that I have a good office in that house and so on. So on the 1st of September 1990, I formed Take Heed Ministries. So it's hard for me to believe that it's been going for over 29 years now.